A couple of weeks ago, I received a letter, quite an important one. There was quite a lot of bold text in the letter, and it was saying that you've been summoned to jury service and that I need to respond within 7 days, otherwise there'll be a fine. And it just made me think, as the gospel is an invitation to you, which you must respond to, which you must respond to. It's a serious matter. It's a matter of your soul, your eternal soul. When I was thinking of the letter, I would think about the service that I might endeavour to do. In jury service, you have to deal with the facts. You have to look at the case. You have to look at what facts are presented to you. Facts, evidence that were brought to light that would either condemn the individual or prove that they're innocent. Well, in here, we have facts. And when it comes to the gospel, we need to speak about facts. God is light. Full stop. That's a fact. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we see here, there's what is light, what is God, and there's darkness. And really, Satan rules the world of darkness. And it's a plumb line. Light and darkness. You cannot have fellowship with God if you walk in darkness. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you know that you're a sinner? You've said things, done things, thought of things that are wrong? It's a fact. It tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Solemn. Because what does that mean? The separation between the light and the darkness, and that we are in the darkness because we are sinners. But verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is seeking that you would come out from the darkness into the light, be brought, reconciled back to God. So we see here, we have light and darkness. We have forgiveness and we have sin. Unrighteousness, righteousness. Men love darkness rather than light. John chapter 3 tells us, what did they do with the one that was the light? The Lord Jesus Christ. He came in, shone. He was the light of the world. The Lord Jesus. And they rejected him. They betrayed him. They hung him upon a cross. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 35. That's page 1356 in my Bible. For the wages of sin is death. That's verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Fact. Fact. What a sad sight that is. We have sinned, and the wages of our doing is death. But what a lovely three-letter word, but the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death, life. Death, life. Act of favour. It's not anything that we could do. No. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We cannot. How can something dead come alive? It's impossible. But the act of favour of God, eternal life. We turn over the page. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commends his love to us in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. That's the motivation, that God has shown favour to us. It's because of his love. his love to you and to me. That we were still sinners. That's the extent of God's love, that he wants you to be reconciled to him. He's desiring after you. He's longing after you. That Christ has died for us. So how can, as we said at the beginning, he has a righteous basis to forgive us. How is that possible? Well, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in person, emptied himself, came here amongst men, took upon a bondman's form, obedient to God the Father. When we were disobedient, when we were doing our own will, when we were going our own way, the Lord Jesus, perfect, every step he took, perfect to the Father's will. And that pathway that Jesus took was to the cross of shame and woe. And there he took the burden of sin and of sins upon himself. Our place was really on that cross, but Jesus has taken that place for you and for me. And so that God can come out in blessing to you. He was the substitute for us on that cross. Know from the evidence in the Bible, fact, evidence in the Bible, the accounts on that cross, those 3 hours where you could see the sufferings of Jesus at the hands of men. You can really see the sufferings and you can read of it, how intense, how he felt it. He was a person, as a man, he suffered for you, for me. And then the 3 hours of darkness, where really the sheer weight of sin, the burden of sin, was laid upon him. God's wrath was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God. And then he died. And then his blood was shed while he was on the cross. And that's how we can be justified. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. Now, I spoke about jury service, how there was a fine if you didn't respond. Well, dear friend, there is wrath. It is not, God is not willing the death of anyone at all. He's very patient, long-suffering with you and with me. But there will be a time where judgment has to be come in. And your soul is eternal. Soul is precious. God wants you to be brought into his house, into his Father's house. But if you neglect the message, if you neglect it, he's not going to force you in to the Father's house, but rather you would not want to go in. That's not God's doing, really. It's your own doing, your own acceptance of wrath. But God is not wanting that. God wants you, you shall be saved by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ. For being enemies, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the power of his life. Dear friends, Jesus, yes, he went to the cross. Yes, his blood was shed. Yes, he went into the tomb. Stone rolled, blocking the door of the tomb. But, dear friends, God the Father was fully satisfied with the work that Jesus has done, completed, paid the price of sin in full. And he raised Jesus from the dead. He raised him from the dead. Shows the perfect completeness of what Jesus has done. He's satisfied. He knows that there is a way that men can be reconciled to God, brought back into relation, so we can have fellowship with him. So we should be saved in the power of his life. I'd like to read from John, book of John. Chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 1. That's on page 1289 in my Bible. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, Believe also on me. This is the words of Jesus. In my Father's house, there are many abodes. If it were not so, I had told you. I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. What wonderful fact, that the Lord Jesus is presenting here. He was on earth here before he was going to suffer and die. He spoke these wonderful words, revealing the Father's heart. The Father has many abodes. Goes to prepare you a place. Prepare you a place. You and I. It's not just the disciples here he's talking really about. He's talking about individuals. You and I. I'm coming again. The Lord Jesus had to go into death, had to go into suffer and to die. But he is returning. A wonderful Saviour and Lord. He's coming back again to take all those that love him. All those that have confessed their sins and repented of their sins. Those that love the Lord Jesus. It is out of love for him, because he has loved us. He has first loved us. That's why we love. Let not your heart be troubled. This is a troubling world we live in. Politicians promise the world. They say, we can do this. They say we can do that. No, dear friend. Men's frail and feeble words. But these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of God. God cannot lie. God is not darkness. He's light. And these words we can stand by. These words are foundational. That we can hold on to, we can grasp in a changing world. Just pray that you might be encouraged with this hope of your sins, the knowledge that you can know your sins are forgiven. You can know and come into a lovely relationship with God, and then have this wonderful hope of Jesus' soon return. The one who has saved you, the one who has gone to the cross, is coming again to bring you to the Father's home. Is that not a wonderful delight? Does that not make your heart rejoice? Well, I pray that you might just simply be affected. Acknowledge your state of ruin. Ask for forgiveness. Confess your sins to God. And he has a righteous basis in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. And there's that lovely hope that we have. Well, may God bless the word. For his name's sake. Amen.